This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Nearly 40,000 Verizon workers have hit the picket lines in what would be one of the largest strikes in the U.S. in recent years. The workers are members of the Communication Workers of America, CWA, and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, IBEW.
They're fighting aggressive attacks on their compensation, job security, and more, carried out by a corporation that has made $39 billion in profits over the past 3 years.
For my future, for my children's future,
my fight for my family is very important. My fight for my home is important. My fight for my three girls are important. And I go on strike for that.
10 months, our bargaining team has been negotiating in good faith, trying to come to an agreement.
Well, the biggest issue for me is the fact that the company wants to basically relocate jobs on a moment's notice. We're all, you know, husbands, fathers, sons, daughters, and when you're asking somebody to pick up and move, in some cases out of state for 4 months at a time, it's nearly impossible.
If I have three boys, my two younger ones really, especially the youngest, you know, they depend on me. You know, I'm divorced, so it's very worrisome. We will stand up for good jobs.
We're ready to fight for good jobs and keep those good jobs in this country and not overseas.
Makes me feel like betrayed. I mean, I gave them a whole 31 years. I don't think they're holding up the upper end of the bargain at this point.
I'm actually trained to do FIOS, and I've seen firsthand what FIOS can do for consumers. And I want to be able to do that for my community and my neighbors here. FIOS in this area would be a boon to the economy, it would be a boon to the consumer, and it would be a boon to us as union members.
Verizon seemed to be the poster child for corporate greed.
Corporate greed is them constantly getting raises as executives, building their profits, yet crying poor. I'm worth a good contract. My kids are worth a good contract.
Going off of my parents and their history, they had to go on strike for a few weeks, maybe even a few months. Sacrifice, that's the way to make things better and to get fair treatment and to get fair pay.
To fight for our first contract, it will mean a lot to us because we fight long and hard. And I truly, honestly believe this is something that we have earned and we deserve. Strike.
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 To discuss the issues of the strike, we're joined by Pete Sikora, Strike Coordinator, District 1.
Hey, Mimi. Hey, Ken. It's Pete with CWA here.
Well, let's start with let's parse out some of the wage, the benefit, the working conditions, and the issues of job security that are under fierce attack.
Well, so Verizon wants to destroy what are good jobs and outsource them overseas or to low-wage, low-benefit contractors domestically. So we've lost almost 5,000 jobs in just call centers alone overseas, and Verizon wants to remove what's remaining of the restrictions that they have in our contract that keep that work here in the U.S. with good-paying jobs. That's one of the central issues in the fight. The other is that they want to make it much easier to eliminate technicians from the payroll and replace them with low-wage, low-benefit contractors.
And how are they doing? And how are they trying to, I think, force out the technicians? And what will be the effect on service if they are successful?
Well, so they want to get rid of the most experienced, oldest workers. So they're paid a lot more than low-wage, low-benefit contractors. So what they're proposing is a two-front attack. Number one is get rid of job security language that prevents layoffs by the company. The second thing is that they want to be able to transfer workers out of state up to 2 months at a time. So you could be moved for 2 months away from your family into a completely other state, then come back and then get moved again. So that's a way to drive people off the payroll and replace them with contractors.
Now, we started by saying that in the last 3 years, there's been a $39 billion. I want to make sure we're clear now. We don't talk about millions anymore. It's billion-dollar profit.
So it's a sign of the times. I mean, corporate America here is just bloodthirsty, and Verizon typifies that. This company is making over $1.5 billion a month in profits. This is a spectacularly profitable company that still wants to bust down its workforce, both at Verizon and at Verizon Wireless. The CEO made $18 million last year and has access to a corporate jet. The top five executives made $232 million in just 5 years. So they make over, he makes, the CEO, Lowell McAdam, over 250 times what the average worker at Verizon makes. That's the kind of corporate greed that we're fighting in America and that is resonating with the public. Our fight, we think, is the public's fight.
Well, indeed. And Pete Sikora, I want to just go back and flesh out some of the issues about the medical benefits, the pensions, the disability, the overtime. Tell us what's going on there, too, because they are subject to fierce cutback and take back.
That's right. So we have at Verizon, thanks to about 50 years of union militancy and strength, we have very good benefits. And Verizon wants to cut those and eliminate them. So they had told our bargaining team that their top issue at the bargaining table was to reduce health care costs. And so we've offered over $200 million in health care cost savings. This is a big sacrifice. This is higher deductibles for people, higher co-pays, those kinds of things. And so it turned out that Verizon, no surprise here, unfortunately, was lying. That was not their top priority. They want everything. They want job security, and they want other cutbacks and concessions as well. But the central issue here is good jobs. Are we going to have an America that has a strong middle class, or are we going to continue the trend of pushing people down into poverty and funneling all the money up to the top one-tenth of 1%? That's what we're seeing in America. It's going to stop with this strike, and hopefully we're going to start rebounding here.
I want to follow up on the question of technicians being assigned for over 2 months in some cases away from their jobs to out-of-state locations or locations that are far away. What impact does that have on services to the public?
Well, so Verizon has refused to build out the Fios network, which is the state-of-the-art fiber-to-the-home network. When we had FDR as president, the Rural Electrification Act delivered electricity to all Americans. Everyone got electricity. Broadband is really the kind of equivalent of that today, but because we have corporations in charge of the government, in effect, we don't have the same kind of requirements. So Verizon has picked and chosen where it wants to deploy that technology of fiber optic cable all the way to your home, which is necessary in the 21st century. So they've redlined certain areas. So what that means is that the future of our work is cut off of our members, and customers don't get cable competition. They face a cable monopoly in their area and thus higher prices and worse service. So that's on the Fios side. So there's plenty of work for technicians locally. In addition, there's telephone service, and Verizon has effectively abandoned the telephone network, just letting it rot and deteriorate in place so that service is so bad that that customers just don't retain their telephone. So there's plenty of work to be done by the technicians. In fact, almost all of our technicians work lots of overtime, and that's because they don't have enough technicians to do the work, yet they still want to shift people out of state. That's just an excuse to push them out of their good jobs and replace them with contractors. That's what they want to do.
Maybe to follow up a bit more even, Verizon is seeking to transform the company to be more oriented towards wireless and modeled more on the workplace culture of wireless, which, as I understand it, is overwhelmingly non-union.
That's right, Mimi. So the company's long-term strategy has been to keep the union from spreading in Verizon Wireless, and that's a central issue in this fight. Verizon Wireless workers in Brooklyn and in Everett, Massachusetts, unionized 2 years ago, and they've been fighting for a fair first contract since then. They are also on strike in a historic first strike in wireless anywhere, as far as we know. There's never been a strike in Verizon Wireless, and this is the first time that retail workers have ever done that. There's also technicians that we represent in the tri-state area who are on strike. Those workers need a fair first contract. Now, Verizon doesn't want to grant it to them because they know that anything that they give to retail workers sets a precedent out of those 65 workers for all the tens of thousands of other non-union Verizon wireless workers. So we're on strike, and those workers are on strike in a fight that will affect all of the non-union Verizon wireless workers who deserve a raise just as much as the unionized ones who are out on strike do. So at the bargaining table at Verizon Wireless, they have offered no raises, no improvements in benefits, and no changes in working conditions. Now, at the wireline table, at those bargaining tables, they tell the wireline workers, wireless is a lot more profitable than you, so you have to take cutbacks. But at the wireless table, they don't suddenly say, oh, you're super profitable, you're even more profitable than the wireline workers, so we're going to give you a really good raise. Oh, no, they say status quo, we're going to push you down too.
And what are the conditions for workers in the wireless stores? I mean, do they get health insurance? What is the pay like? And I've heard stories about intimidation by supervisors toward the workers.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of issues, unfortunately, in working conditions. So without a union, you can be dismissed for any reason whatsoever, from the color of your hair to the boss is just in a bad mood. But with a union, you have the right to contest favoritism and unjust dismissal. So that's one of the things that the wireless workers are fighting for, is to overturn a culture of favoritism and, unfortunately, in some cases, sexual harassment. This is a young workforce with young managers who, unfortunately, there's a lot of harassment issues. There's many other working conditions that people want to be able to address through a fair bargaining process, but the company has no interest in it. They want to retain all the power, even to the extent that that it allows managers to do whatever they want, including favoritism and sleazy practices like that.
So I just also want to understand, it seems that the vision of Verizon is really a migratory, if you will, workforce that follows the work from state to state. Now, I know there's a two-tier system already that was really forced upon the union. Does this mean that all the workers would be subject to this migratory, this transfer pattern? Is there no longer any protection, regardless of the tier that you find yourself in, for the workers in terms of their job security, security being also the terms and conditions of their employment?
Yeah, basically. Unfortunately, the answer is basically yes. There's a few workers who work in central offices who would not be transferred around, at least not in the short term, until the company decided to potentially close that building. But everybody else would be open to being moved around. And for call center workers, let me be really specific here. The New York State contract, for example, right now requires that 82% of call customer service calls generated in this area stay in this area. And that's good for customers who don't have to talk to someone who may not be very well informed about local conditions. But it's also good for the workers because it maintains their work locally. The company wants to reduce it to 0%. So that's how they would be able to outsource all of the work overseas. They'd simply be able to move all those calls and transfer them to the Philippines and to India and to Mexico and other countries where they have call center work. Now, we have nothing against workers in other countries. We support them as well, but we want to preserve good American jobs here in this country. This is all part of a pattern that you talk about all the time on your program, of the corporations and the very, very rich shoving down everyone else in order to pad their own pockets. Verizon, in last year alone, did $13 billion in stock buybacks and dividends to their shareholders, purely stuff to pump up the value of their stock price rather than invest in a profitable product like Fios. Literally, they're not willing to spend money on Fios so that they can pump up the price of their stock in order to pump up the CEO's salary and the other executives and the board of directors at the expense of their own bottom line in the long run.
Well, aren't they cutting down on the call centers by making the workers migrate 35 or 70 miles a day to some of these call centers and therefore paving the way for outsourcing?
Yes, that's right. So one of the things that they want to do is close down particular call centers and move them and consolidate them. So that would mean that the workers who are in that area would face a very difficult choice of lengthening out their commute dramatically. So that's got very serious impact on people's lives. Another big problem in the New York City metro area is that they have begun a system of really inquisitions on the job, where they pull people in for up to 2 hours at a time, often 2 hours at a time, of very detailed questioning by management about everything that they did during the day. It's a on-the-job kind of harassment technique that has absolutely incensed our membership. And it's outrageous. It's just, imagine being pulled in by your boss for 2 hours and just questioned on every single thing that you did throughout the day, from simple to complex, essentially in an effort to force you off the payroll by making the job so unpleasant that you just leave.
You know, I'm wondering, I don't want to be too theoretical or too kind of nihilistic about this, but, you know, as there is a technologizing and robotization and artificial intelligence, et cetera, and you can begin to see that certainly in an industry like Verizon, it's so on. Do you need to begin to actually force into the union contracts even before some of these things occur? And in anticipation of these models taking place, something more aggressive that preserves the workers' rights, just a whole new panoply of issues that the working class has really got to face in conjunction with technologies that can leave them in a state of precarity or possibly joblessness.
Well, you know, that's a really good question. Technological change has always been here with us, but what's really changed is that labor law is so backward in America that we cannot organize in the private sector in places where the company simply decides, well, you know what, we're just going to fire people. Sure, it's illegal. Sure, we'll have to restore their jobs 5 years down the line when the NLRB and the courts order us to, but we're just going to get rid of people now. Now, in Verizon, the workforce essentially has shrunk at wireline while wireless has grown. CWA pioneered the strategy of bargaining to organize. So we worked very hard a few contract rounds back to get a neutrality agreement. This was completely new at the time. It's a new concept, really, for unions, in order to get an agreement that Verizon Wireless, that we could organize there without the company threatening people and trashing the union. Well, we thought we had an agreement, but it turned out that Verizon did not follow that agreement. And so ever since then, we've been fighting to get those same conditions at Verizon Wireless, where people would be able to make a free choice, not subject to harassment by their management, in which case they would then choose to form a union. But we haven't been able to win that. So what we have won is an election in Brooklyn and Massachusetts in order to represent the wireless store workers. So that's where the employment is, and that's where we want to win a fair contract for those workers, which then sets a precedent for the rest of the company. The company knows that just as well as we do, and they want to keep those workers non-union and without a good contract so that eventually they can beat back the union from its beachhead within Verizon Wireless. And that's to the long-run benefit of them, obviously, and hurts the Verizon Wireless workers at Verizon and across America, because if Verizon can succeed in pushing down workers in Verizon Wireless, they'll be able to continue to shove down the middle class in America and funnel money back up to their own pockets and up to the top 1% and 0.1%.
Pete, recently the strike has picked up some serious support from presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, who joined them on the picket line.
Hey, we're fighting a vicious corporation, but we got a champion that's fighting for us. Let's hear it from Bernie Sanders. Thank you for your courage in standing up for justice against corporate greed. Verizon is one of the largest, most profitable corporations in this country. but they refuse to sit down and negotiate a fair contract. They want to take away the health benefits that you have earned. They want to outsource decent paying jobs. They want to give their CEO $20 million a year in compensation. They want to avoid paying federal income taxes. In other words, this is just another major American corporation trying to destroy the lives of working Americans. Today, you are standing up not just for justice for Verizon workers, you're standing up for millions of Americans who don't have a union. And you're telling corporate America they cannot have it all. And you're telling corporate America that workers in this country are not going to be continued to push down and down and down. The working class of this country deserves to earn decent wages, decent benefits, and not see their jobs go to low-wage countries. I'm here today not just to support the CWA. I know how hard it is, what a difficult decision it is to go out on strike. And I know you're feeling a whole lot about it. And I know your families are going to pay a price for going out on strike. But you have chosen to stand up for dignity, for justice, and to take on an enormously powerful special interest. So on behalf of every worker in America who is facing the same kind of pressure, thank you for what you're doing. We're going to win this thing. Thank you.
And CWA has come out in support of Bernie in the Democratic primary. Talk about why CWA has given its support to Senator Sanders.
Well, you know, we had a vote of our membership online. We're very proud of the fact that we put it to the membership, and the membership voted decisively to endorse Bernie Sanders. We believe in a political revolution. We think that that's what this country needs. We need a candidate who is not beholden to super PACs and big money to make the kind of decisions that will actually benefit working families. Bernie Sanders has the kind of record where you know that he wakes up every day thinking about inequality and how to fight for working people. It just is very clear that the man is absolutely single-minded about that, as well as other vital problems. He really cares. You can tell it. He has the record to show that. And that's shown in this strike, where Bernie has showed up at picket lines, has spoken out at them, has talked about it constantly at his rallies, and really, really strongly supports us. Now, that's not to take away from where Hillary Clinton has been. She has also visited a picket line, but her record, while good on many issues, is just not as good as Bernie Sanders' record. We strongly support him, and we hope that everyone who's listening votes for Bernie Sanders.
And along with that, you had a mass rally today. Tell us a little bit about who else showed up and the kind of support that's being generated.
You know, other unions and community groups showed up and elected officials showed up, but what was really remarkable about it was how many people came and how energetic it was. You know, we expected thousands, and we got 7,500, according to the police. And so, you know, who knows?
We'll double that. That's 14.
There you go. They typically lower things. We thought it was about 10, but nonetheless, we were blown away by the turnout. It was a huge rally, and it was incredibly energetic. In fact, I lost my voice at the rally. So.
Well, as well you should. That's what a strong union strike leader does.
Oh, it was intense. I mean, people are really angry at the company. It's clearly a really raw deal that the company's trying to shove down our throats, and we're just not going to take it, and people really made that clear. Now, Verizon, over the last 15 years, five out of those 15 years actually paid negative federal taxes despite multi-billion dollar profits in each of those years. They actually got refunds from the federal government. So unlike you and me, who pay reasonable federal taxes, these guys paid only 12% over the last 15 years despite gigantic profits. They're supposed to pay 35%. But, of course, they're tax evaders. So they treat their workers, their customers, and the taxpayers just as badly, all of them together.
And, Pete, what's happening next in the campaign to protect Verizon workers?
Well, I mean, we are going to be picketing at Verizon Wireless stores as long as it takes here. We are bracing for a long strike here. We're ready for it, and so are our members, and we're going to be out there at Verizon Wireless stores. So people should go to standuptoverizon.com. You can see where all the picket lines are, actually most of the picket lines, and just join a picket line. Come out and show support for the workers. They'll really appreciate it. Come and show your support. Sign up for our list, and we'll send you updates.
Is there something else that we can also do as we conclude this brief but informative interview? And it is a pep rally for our sisters and brothers, the Verizon workers. So can we, is there someone we should call to tell them what to do with their $39 billion in profit?
You know, the thing to do is to go to a picket line and support workers. There's other things to do on the website, sign petitions, circulate them online to your friends. Those are really helpful things to do. Really appreciate having me on this program. But I'll just conclude by saying that this strike isn't just about Verizon workers. It's about, we think, a growing movement of fast food workers, Americans, immigrants, citizens, non-citizens, union, non-union, all who are realizing that we have got to change the way that our economy functions so that the middle class starts to grow again rather than shrinking. And so whether it's fast food workers striking or Verizon workers striking, we're all in this together, and we got to go out and show it. So voting for Bernie Sanders, we feel like it's the same movement moment. Go out there and vote for Bernie, support the strike. They're flip sides of the same coin.
And can we ask you just to end by, can you recite the best chant that you have?
Sure. What are we fighting? Corporate greed. That's our call and response.
Wonderful.
And we've been speaking with Pete Sikora, strike coordinator of CWA Region 1, who is fighting corporate greed, and we are too.
Thanks so much, guys.
Pleasure.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.